Good afternoon, boys and girls. It's Friday. Normally I'm with you on a Thursday, but I couldn't be here yesterday. But here we are today, and we're turning to Revelation, and it's the chapter 11. Our study has taken us to the consideration of the two witnesses that God is going to raise up, two men that God is going to raise up in Jerusalem, 3.5 years before the Lord returns. There can be no excuse for us not being aware of the nearness of the Savior's return when we have such clear warnings like that which we are considering. The raising up of two men to serve God, to preach in the city of Jerusalem. Now, you mightn't hear too much today about those who are preaching in Jerusalem. And there are those who serve the Lord in the city of Jerusalem today, but you don't hear about them, and they're not spoken of in the news. But these two men will be spoken of, and they will be spoken of because of the ministry and the activities that they will be involved in. Let's quickly read just some verses, because it's important you remember the actual word of God regarding these two men. So it's Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. You following? Verse 4, Revelation 11. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now that verse 4 is a reference to a prophecy concerning these two men given by Zechariah hundreds of years before John wrote this account. Hundreds of years before the Savior's first coming, God had made reference to two witnesses. Not a great deal of information was given, but this verse 4, pointing us back to what Zechariah had said, helps us to understand what the prophet meant way back then. Because God's people, even in the Old Testament ages, right back to the days of Adam, were given some information about the coming of Christ. It's not a subject that has just arisen. It's a subject, a topic that was thought about, considered, preached upon, studied by the saints of God from the beginning of time. And if you're not studying it, then you're out of step with all the other saints that have ever lived and served God. So that's what verse 4 is referring to. Verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of his mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. We'll end the reading there. Now, I think I did suggest to you that you go home and study these verses and pick out the features, the marks of the ministry of these two men. I might even have said to you, particularly the older ones, pick out how their ministry differs from a gospel minister today. Let me just remind you that last time we were talking about exactly when this ministry would be. When would these men come? Verses 2 and 3 makes it clear. It's at a time when the Gentiles will be trampling down Jerusalem, and I believe that's a reference to the rage of Antichrist against the Jew and against the city of Jerusalem in that period of time called Jacob's Trouble. More specifically, we're told that their ministry will be and will last for 1,260 days. Verse 3 says that. You, of course, will remember that 1,260 days is that period of 3.5 years. A period of time that's forever being mentioned or repeatedly being mentioned in prophecy. And it refers to the last 3.5 years of this age, at the end of which the Savior is going to come. So we learned when their ministry was to take place during the great tribulation, in which the poor Jew in Jerusalem will be targeted most cruelly. Now let's look at the character of their ministry. 5 and 6. We're not going to mistake these men for any others that might come along. Because look at what God says about the ministry. Verses 5 and 6. Look at what it says. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power, authority, to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now, those are not powers possessed by a minister of the gospel today. Absolutely not possessed by a minister of the gospel today. What does this remind you of when you read it? They have power to shut heaven, that it rain not, power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. What does that remind you of? Does it remind you of anything? Moses and other prophets as well. Elijah. And not just those two men, because there were others among the prophets to whom God gave power to work great miracles. Great miracles. Whereby the enemies of Israel oftentimes were powerfully overthrown. But chiefly, these things were seen in the life of Moses and Elijah. What does this suggest to us then? It suggests this, that in the last 3.5 years of this age, there will be seen in Jerusalem that which the Old Testament people of God witnessed under the ministry of great men. Like Moses and like Elijah. I'm sure perhaps you have thought sometimes when you have read your Bible, particularly about men like Moses and Elijah, the great miracles they wrought. Fire from heaven, the stopping of rain, the parting of the Red Sea, the parting of the Jordan, the turning of water into blood. I'm sure when you have read these wonderful things, and many others like them, you have said, oh, I'd love to have lived in days like that. I'd love to have seen things like that. Boys and girls, let me tell you something. The world is going to see again scenes like that. There are those foolish people who have declared, God's dead. Especially the God of the Old Testament, he's dead. There have been those who profess to be Christians who have said, the God of the Old Testament, you know, God's not like that today. Oh, are they in for a bit of a shock when God raises up two men who will be able to call down fire, who will be able to turn water into blood, who will be able to pronounce plagues and diseases upon those who oppose them. And even as it says here, look, verse 5, if any man will hurt them, desire to hurt them, put forth his hand to hurt them. Fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. Out of their mouth will proceed a judgment. And as a result of that judgment that they pronounce upon their enemies, out of their mouth, the fire of God will fall. It's like the scene in the latter days of Elijah when, you remember, the king sent men to bring Elijah to the king's palace. And the soldiers came to Elijah and said, O man of God, the king wants you to come. We're here to bring you. And I just read this a couple of days ago. And Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven and consume you. And the fire fell and consumed them. Now, you can say that the fire proceeded out of his mouth because he spoke the words out of his mouth. And in response to his words, God sent fire upon those who had come to take him. I mean, this was literal fire. And this was a literal slaying of 50 men, not once, but again. When others came, Elijah spoke the same words. The thing is, boys and girls, it is the nature of the witness of the gospel today. And this the Lord Jesus taught us. When somebody smites you on the cheek, what do? Hit them back? No. What do? You turn the other cheek. You don't fight your enemies in a physical sense when you're witnessing and working and serving the Lord. You endure such abuse. But that's not going to be the case here. You see, boys and girls, the day of judgment is drawing near in the days of these men, and God is acting through them, and by their acts of judgment against their enemies, they're serving notice, as it were, on the enemies of God. Judgment's coming. This is just a foretaste of what's coming. We're just two of God's servants, and we are instruments in His hand to bring judgment upon those who reject God's word. But very soon, God's wrath will be revealed from heaven against all who reject His word. Oh, the character of the ministry, of the witness of these two men is very different from the character of the gospel ministry today. You're seeing a very visible manifestation of the wrath of God toward His enemies. You'll see that verse 3 tells us, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Clothed in sackcloth. What was sackcloth a mark of? Who was it that wore sackcloth? Yes, exactly right. It was a sign of mourning, sign of grief, sign of sorrow. And these men will wear sackcloth as a sign of the distress they feel in their hearts for what is coming upon Jerusalem and upon the enemies of God. The judgment was coming, and their very clothing as well as their actions will indicate that judgment was coming. Their very clothing. Now, do you think if there were two men in Jerusalem today who were smiting their enemies with fire, who were turning water into blood, who were bringing down plagues of diseases upon those who opposed them, who were able to stop it raining when rain was expected, do you think if there were two men doing that in Jerusalem today, that it would pass unnoticed? Or do you think it would be making headlines? I think you'll agree with me, it would be making headlines. It would be the first item on the news tonight. And people would be discussing it and saying, how do they do this? There must be some trick involved, etc., etc. And all the experts will come on and say, well, I think. But then the next day, they're still doing it. And all the experts have begun to gather in Jerusalem to examine what it is they're doing. And maybe some of the experts challenge them, oppose them, and they become victims of the fire of God out of heaven. And soon it is realized there's something supernatural happening here. Something that the world has never seen for a long, long time, or heard of for a long, long time. Oh, it will make the news, boys and girls. And for that reason, there ought to be few in this world, but if they know their Bible and read their Bible, will recognize the coming of the Lord draweth near. For the ministry of these two men will only last 1,260 years, 1,260 days. 1,260 days. Christians will say, when did they first appear? When was their first report? And they'll begin to calculate from that day, roughly, when it is the Saviour's going to return. And furthermore, Christians, once they hear about these events, they'll be able to read these verses that we're looking at. And they'll see how their ministry will end, and the miracles that will take place, even after the ministry ends. But we'll come back again to that. We're going to come back. Please, listen, please, read these verses tonight. Read them carefully, taking in what each word says. And just imagine, visualize the day when these two men will arise in Jerusalem. May the Lord bless His word to our heart. Let's just bow together, please, in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, convince our hearts of the accuracy and the reality of what it is we read here. This is the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Lord, I pray that You'll grip the hearts of the boys and the girls and make them to realize that the God of Elijah lives today and answers still by fire, as He will in this instant, in a most wonderful fashion. Answer prayer, we ask now, in Jesus' name. Amen.